That, you know, we do have some guest visitors here today, and Pastor Tim and Pastor Kate Stallman couldn't be here. They're our senior pastors, but hey, they would want to meet you. They would want to greet with you. Pastor Tim is the man anointed and appointed for this church and this work, and I'll tell you, he's a dynamic man of God. So we just invite you, you know, come on back and make sure that you meet pastors, because I know that they would want to connect with you and get to know you guys. But we do have a special treat here this morning. We actually have Reverend Savante Boyette is going to be ministering the Word of God. Yeah, praise the Lord. And you guys were here a couple weeks ago when Reverend Savante came up and he shared about the youth, and it's dynamic. It's dynamic how the Lord is using them, both Reverend Savante and Tiffany, and what the Lord's doing in the lives of the youth, and they have that opportunity. And you see the fruit that's up and through the camp and everything, and it's just dynamic and awesome. So won't you help welcome me at this time, Reverend Savante, as he comes up and ministers the Word of God. Hey, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. How's everyone doing this morning? Good, praise the Lord. You might hear a little bit of youth group come out of me this morning here, you know, because I got to get them riled up a little bit. I got to keep them engaged. So, you know, praise the Lord. I'm so happy to be here this morning. I'm so blessed that Pastor Tim and Pastor Katie would ask me to come and minister the Word of God here this morning. Thank you all for being here this morning, you know. And again, just want to reiterate, come back if you're visiting and hear Pastor Tim, the man of God appointed to be the pastor of this church. He would love to meet you. He would love to pastor you and shepherd you and grow you up in the faith of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. So again, just so honored to be here with you this morning. You know, I do believe I have a word from heaven this morning. The Lord's been speaking some things, to me about the church, at large. Not saying I'm being prophetic here, but just something that I think the church really needs to grasp and hold on to in this season that we're in the world. So why don't we just go ahead and bow our heads and pray this morning? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace and your love. And Lord, most of all, we thank you for Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins and rose again so that we could be saved. Lord, I thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit that was sent to us, for us, and for the benefit of others. And Lord, I thank you that you are here in our midst today, changing our hearts, changing our lives, so that we can go out and impact the world around us. Lord, I thank you that you give me words of wisdom to speak, words of knowledge to speak. I thank you that it's not my own wisdom, but I speak as I'm given utterance by the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I thank you that you'll receive all the praise, all the honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you could turn in your Bibles this morning to the book of 2 Timothy, towards the back of the Bible, the book of 2 Timothy, and we're going to start there in verse 4. And the title of today's message is called Stir Up the Gift. Amen. Stir Up the Gift. And, you know, before we get there, you know, I want to remind you guys, I'm setting my timer here because I am much like my own pastor and tend to go long sometimes, so just got to keep it in check here. But, you know, the Lord's been reminding me that many people sitting in this church right now have been ministered to, had hands laid upon them, have been healed of sickness and disease, have been delivered, have been set free. They've come out of poverty. They've come out of lack. There have been so many miracles. There have been so many great things done. How many people could attest to that there have been mighty things that God has done in your life directly or through the hands of a minister? Ooh, praise the Lord. I love that. And see, that's the power of the gospel. That's the power of Jesus Christ working through ministers to reach you, working through men and women of God to reach you and to change your life. But the thing that the Lord has been speaking to me is that we can't forget about those times we've been ministered to. We can't forget about the things that the Lord has done in our life. Do you realize this, that the Lord didn't just have you bless that one day and one time for it to be that one day and that one time, and then you forget about it and go on with your life? He did that for a purpose. Do you realize the same thing? I tell this to my youth kids all the time. I say that salvation isn't just a one-time experience. How many of you were saved when you were 7, 8, 9 years old, when you were very young? Yeah, got some hands. When you were saved, when you're 7, 8, 9 years old, that wasn't your only day of salvation, but you actually have to walk out your salvation every single day. I tell the youth kids, wake up every single morning and thank God for your salvation. Remind yourself of the gospel. You see, when Paul went about preaching the gospel, or really preaching the word to all the different churches, he never sent a letter. He never did anything without reminding them of what Jesus Christ did for them. You see, and that's the thing. We have to stir up ourselves and remind ourselves of the gospel of Jesus Christ, what he did for us. And before I start, I wasn't planning to do this, but there's a great acronym. I love acronyms because it makes it very easy to remember, you know, things that are written, doctrines, whatever it is, anything really. But there is a gospel acronym. And so first and foremost, I want to speak to the saints. Maybe there's some unbelievers here today, but it's a blessing for all of us. We all need the gospel of Jesus Christ. We all need it every single day. We can't just say, I got the gospel when I was 7, 8, 9, or maybe you got saved when you were in your 20s, 30s, 40s, and say, okay, I got the gospel then. Now I'm just about the promises. The gospel was for then. The promises are for now. And now that I've got all my stuff, I'm good. I'm living for God on my way to heaven. But I want to remind you of this, is the gospel. It says the G stands for God created us to be with him. Amen? That was the whole intention of God creating mankind, is so that we could be with him. But then number two, the O stands for this, our sins separate us from God, right? Just like in the Garden of Eden, God created Adam and Eve to be with him, but their sins separated them from God. In the same way, our sins, every man has sinned, every man has fallen short of God's highest and best, our sins too separate us from God. And then the S stands for this, sins cannot be removed by good deeds. So many of us are caught up in our good deeds and our good actions and our morality, but our morality doesn't save us. Our good deeds don't save us. Our giving, our serving, our time and our efforts don't save us. But it says this, the P is for paying the price for sin, Jesus died and rose again. And then the E is for this, everyone who trusts in him alone or Jesus Christ alone has eternal life. And the L stands for this, life with Jesus starts now and it lasts forever. Right? Doesn't the Bible say that Jesus gave us eternal life to those who believe, right? Eternal means this. It's a word that describes the nature of the life that God gave us. It means that there's no beginning and there's no end. So if your salvation practically has a beginning and then it's not continuing on throughout the rest of your life, where you're experiencing that salvation over and over and over again, then is it really the gospel in your life? Or was it just a one-time experience? We need to have an ongoing experience with God. And that's what Paul is reminding Timothy here. He says this in verse 4. He says, I greatly desire to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joys. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith, everyone say faith. Now, what is that faith? It's faith in Jesus, right? The unfeigned faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in you also. Wherefore, I put in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God which is in you by the putting on of my hands, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of sound mind. I'm sorry, if I didn't give that verse, it's 2 Timothy 1, and that was starting in verse 4. I ended there in verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and sound mind. You see, what was going on in Timothy's life, and yes, Timothy was a minister. He was a pastor of the church at Ephesus, also traveled to other churches to minister. He was a pastor, but what was happening is he was facing great persecution, great tests, great trials. There had been lots of successes. His history points to the idea that his church may have been a old-time mega church, that there may have been 4,000 or 5,000 people. In fact, if you read the book of Acts, you would see that all of the region of Ephesus there was actually saved. Every single person was saved. And that happened in a very, very short period of time. It wasn't like this took, you know, decades and decades and you know, a century for all of that region to be saved. It happened in a short time. And I'm going to get to the reason why that happened. But he's going through a heavyweight test and trial, even though he had all these successes. And Paul tells him, stir up the gift of God that is in you by the laying on of hands from me, right? And the words of prophecy that were spoken. How many of you have had words of prophecy that have been spoken over you in times past? Words of encouragement, words of exhortation, words of comfort, maybe words of warning, maybe things pertaining to your future, if it's specifically a foretelling prophecy.
Those things are with you and in you. They are gifts that are residing in you, and you need to stir that stuff up again. You need to bring that stuff out. Don't just let it lay dormant back when it happened in 2012, 2013, 2014. Stir it up. Remind yourself of these things continually and let it drive you in your life. But you see, the point of those things is not just to drive you to getting more stuff. Prophecies aren't given, gifts aren't given, anointings and blessings aren't given just so that you can have stuff for me, myself, and I. It's not given just so you can be more comfortable in life. It's not given just so that you can get rid of the diseases, get rid of the ailments, get rid of the depression and anxiety, but it's given for the work of the ministry. And I'm so glad that Pastor Brad said that. He said that we would be equipped for the work of the ministry. And that's what I intend to do here this morning, is equip you for the work of the ministry. And I wanted to continue on in verse 8, because again, like I said, it's all about the gospel, right? Paul says in verse 8, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." You know, Jesus did promise that there would be tests and trials and tribulations. He did promise that we would be persecuted for the faith, right? So some of those things, we can't always avoid persecution, but we can endure through the persecution, especially of others. But let me ask you this, are you being persecuted? I'm not saying it's a qualification to be a believer necessarily, but if you are doing the work of the ministry, you're gonna face some resistance from demonic forces, but also from people as well. Right? And so sometimes you see that, and then that can be a reassurance. Okay, I'm heading in the right direction. But there's other times when things are too easy, when things are too tough. And yes, there was grace to get us through. There's supernatural peace to get us through, but there will be persecutions, and we have to learn how to endure through those times. And we do that by stirring up the gift of God. Is there anyone here, you don't have to raise your hand, but you could say that maybe your Christian walk has seemed a little bit dormant, maybe a little bit flat. Maybe you're sitting here and you're like, yeah, like the gifts of the Spirit, the things that God spoke to me, yeah, like that stuff was good then, it helped me then, but like now I'm just kind of cruising, I'm just floating on through, like nothing crazy miraculous is happening in my life, nothing wonderful is really happening. I've got everything I need. I have, you know, a house, a roof over my head, I've got food on my table, I've got nice clothes, I got a car, I've got a good job, my family's healthy, wealthy, and strong, like, and you're thinking, I'm good. But listen, there's so much more than that. If that's all that you have, amen, praise the Lord, God is faithful to you and he does not forget his promise. But I'm telling you here that there is so much more for us in this life than just having all of our needs met. And it's this, seeing the needs of others met in our lives. And listen to this, it says this in verse 9, who Jesus has saved us, excuse me, I actually skipped verse 8, because actually this is important. Go back to verse 8 real quick. And it says this, be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Again, there's the gospel. Verse 9 says, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Everyone say the gospel. The gospel should be the driving force behind everything that we do. It should be the gospel. And it's not the gospel that just says God has a great plan for your life and he's going to do great and wonderful things. It's not just Jeremiah 29:11. All of that is true. All of that is wonderful. I'm not downgrading that at all. Right? When Jesus was on this earth, he went and he healed the sick. He cast out demons. He set people free. He gave people peace. He gave people joy. Right? The apostles and the disciples, they gave. The early church, they gave and they sowed into other people. All of those things are good. But if we do those things and if we're only about the person's natural condition and forget about their spiritual condition, we have things out of order. We need to be just as much, if not, yes, more about the spiritual condition of a person than we are about just meeting their needs. I'm going to get to meeting their needs because that's part of it too. But we have to look at people with the way that Jesus looks at people. When Jesus looks at people, he first sees their sin nature and the need of a Savior in their life to deliver them from sin. You see, the thing is that the gospel and the Word of God is powerful, right? That there is truth to the Word of God, that if you sow, you will reap. There is power that can be poured out onto somebody and they can be delivered from demons, they can be healed, they can be set free, they can experience peace and joy and euphoria and all the things, but that they can go right back into their old life because they never actually had a true salvation experience. They got free from some sicknesses and diseases, they got free from some ailments and torments, but then they didn't give their life to Jesus because we forgot to tell them that they needed to also address their sin nature. If you don't address the root of the problem, it's going to spring back up in their lives. That's why we see so many people, it's like they're on fire for the Lord, they're doing it, they're serving God, they're in the church, they're praising, they're worshiping, and then just like the Bible says, you know, the different kinds of soil, right? The cares of this life, the worries, the stresses, they come in and they choke the word and make it unfruitful, and that person falls away from the faith. You see, and that's because the things that mattered weren't stirred up in them. They were excited about, and oftentimes they're excited about the stuff. They're excited about the blessing. They're excited about the deliverance and the freedom that they experience. But something that the Lord has put in my heart lately is discipleship is something else. They never had somebody come alongside of them and disciple them in the faith. I'm here to tell you, it's not the job of Pastor Tim to disciple and meet with every single person in this church and disciple them along through the faith. It's our job. It's my job, it's your job. I'm saying this as a member of the church, right? That it's my job as much as it is anyone else's job to disciple those who come into the faith. That's the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. Because guess what? Pastor Tim is one man and he can't do it all. He can't do it on his own. He needs us to come alongside of him and use the gifts and the calling that have been put into us in order to reach the lost and then bring those lost people along with the sheep. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. And that's what I want to stir up in you today is that this, gifts work by love. So just like Pastor Michael last week taught that faith works by love, I want to remind you as well that the gifts of the Spirit also work by love. You see, if we move on to 2 Timothy chapter 3, so just should be a page over in your Bible probably. I want to remind you of this, that love is of utmost importance if we're going to see a move of God. Love and love for others and how we treat other people, how we act around other people, the ways that we, you know, all of the things that we do to love one another, that's obviously of utmost importance because if we don't love one another, then our faith is worthless. Then people are going to look at us and be like, I don't want that Jesus because that's not the kind of love that I need in my life, right? So yes, the way that we physically treat and act around people is love, but there's another kind of love that's not just about how we treat people, but about how we see people, okay? How we see people. And what I want to get here is this, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, he tells Timothy this, verse 1, 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1, and it says this, this also know that in the last days, perilous times shall come. How many think we have some perilous times around us? Okay, well, if you think these times are perilous, especially in America, I'm just warning you, just as Pastor Tim has warned you, there are harder times coming ahead. So you need to brace yourself. You need to stand firm and abide in the gospel of Jesus Christ so that when the shaking comes, you are not moved, but you're going to be found standing firm on the rock that is Jesus Christ. And this is the reason why perilous times are coming and are here now, even in a measure. And it says this, for men shall be lovers of themselves. Oh, yeah. I got love. I got love for God. I got love for my stuff. You know, I'm seeking after him. I'm knowing him, you know, but it's all with this inward motive that you just have all of your own needs taken care of, that you can just get all of your own stuff, that you can just have all of your peace, all of your joy, all of your strength, all of your deliverance. It's all for me, 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 me. And that's a lot of what we hear in the pulpit today, unfortunately. It's a lot about me, my stuff, myself. Look at what God did for me. Look what God brought me. They might say, you can have it too, right? But is that the gospel? Is that really what we're living for? Is that really why we're sucking air on this earth? Is so that we can just get a bunch of stuff? Listen, all of that stuff on this earth is going to perish. It's going to be moth-eaten. It's going to rust. It's going to decay. And you're not going to be able to bring any of that stuff with you to the throne room of heaven when you stand before God on this throne. None of that stuff goes with you. God doesn't care about it. He wants to bless you with things. He wants to give you good things. But he first wants you to know him and have a desire to let other people know him. That should be our purpose. That should be our desire. That's what should drive us in this faith walk, is other people. Amen. The reason why these prophecies, these words of wisdom, these words of knowledge, these gifts of the Spirit have been given, the reason why these exhortations have been given, the reasons why these blessings and anointing have been poured out upon you. I know that there's been so many people that have had hands laid upon them in order that they would pray more, that they would seek after God more, that they would be used of God. But the reason why wasn't just for yourself and to make yourself feel good. It was for other people. And we have it out of order if we get hands laid upon us and then we just go back to our prayer closet and we just pray, and we never go out and minister to somebody. I'm just being honest here. It's prayer is powerful. Prayer is self-edifying. Praying in tongues is a powerful way to impact your life and change your life forever. But if it's just for you, what are you? What's the point? So there's a lost and dying world out there that needs the light of Jesus Christ. And it gets out there through every single person sitting in this room today. It doesn't just get out by just you inviting people to church so they can hear a great message by Pastor Tim, which he is a great minister of the gospel, but it's by you. You see, here's something else that I tell the youth kids all the time. I can't go into the schools and witness to the kids that are in your schools. I can't go into your workplace. I can't go to your families and go and preach the gospel to everybody that's there. You are the person that God called and appointed and purposed to go into those places and reach the lost and dying world. It's up to us. It's up to us. Do you really believe that that's your purpose? Right? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. God so loved the world. Now, let me ask you this. Do you love the world? Do you love those that are different from you? Do you love those that irk your nerve and that just grind your gears? Do you love those people? Right? That's the test. Is of how you are walking for God, how you are loving God, how you are serving him, is do you love your enemies? Do you do good to those who hate you and persecute you? Because if you do that, then you are loving like your Father God in heaven loved. Ephesians 5:1 says this, be imitators of God as dear children. Be imitators of God. So if we are to imitate God, if we are to imitate Jesus, who is God in the flesh, that walked on this earth, what should our lives look like? Right? What should our lives look like? It should look like that we always have an eye out looking how we can impact the world around us. Not just impacting our life, but impacting the world around us. And here's one other thing I'm going to tell you. All the stuff that God is going to bless you with and that he wants to bless you with is good, but he doesn't need you blessed and delivered and set free from all of these things, from depression and anxiety, in order to use you. Even if you are at your lowest point, deep down, depressed, anxious, full of worry and fear, if you would just change something in your heart, if you would just change something in your desires and flip that switch to be focused outward instead of your problems, the depression and anxiety might still be there for a time, but what I'm here to tell you is that that's how you get through it. That's how you get through it. Praise the Lord. You guys getting something out of this morning? Praise the Lord. God is faithful. You know, I'm not trying to come off strong here, but this is just something that's just been so near and dear to my heart lately. And I just want to train up people to actually be confident to go out and reach the lost. I want people to be confident to go and talk to those around them and be a good witness. Yes, be a witness in your character and in your example and in your integrity, but also open your mouth and speak some words too about who Jesus is, what he's done for you, and what he wants to do for that person for the saving of their souls. We have to open our mouths and preach the gospel, right? The Bible says this, that how can they believe unless they hear? And how can they hear unless there was a preacher? How beautiful and blessed are those that preach the gospel, right? They can't believe unless they hear the gospel. They won't believe just because you're a good person, a moral, full of integrity kind of person. They need to hear the gospel. They have to. That's why I'm so thankful we have this, have JCR going on right now, is because it's a way that we can actually get out into our community and preach the gospel, giving out gospel tracts that explain the gospel of Jesus Christ, because that's the only way somebody can be saved. Apart from Jesus Christ, no man can be saved. Yes, they will see Jesus in you, but Jesus didn't just have people look at him. He also preached to them. He taught them. He encouraged them. He discipled them, yes. Right? That's the call of the Great Commission, is to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? That's the purpose of the gospel. Praise the Lord. Here we go, verse 2, for men shall be lovers of themselves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy. I mean, that's enough. There's more. But listen, all of these things are because of a lack of love for other people. And that's, you see that balance there, right? Paul's teaching him, stir up the gift of God in you. And he's talking about why things are hard is because of a lack of love for other people. Again, not just how we treat them, but how we see them. Praise the Lord. So, I want you to learn to walk in all that God has for you, in gifts of the Spirit, in peace, joy, strength, health, wisdom, all of those things, but it comes by love. Not just love, not just for yourself and your stuff, but for others. So listen, this is what we have to do. We have to cry out to God, Lord, use me. Anybody here ever cry out to God, Lord, use me. Lord, use me. I want to be used. I want to go. Send me. Use me, God. But you see, the way that we do that is we cry out to God, and then we have to die to ourselves. We have to die to our own desires. We have to die to our own visions and our own dreams and all of those things if we want God to use us. That also means we have to die to our own comforts and our own conveniences. We have to die to our own embarrassment at times and pray to God for a boldness that we could go filled with the Holy Spirit and talk to somebody about Jesus because we love them enough to do so. That's what true love is. Praise the Lord. Why don't we turn in our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I love this because these are some of the most clear and concise teachings about the gifts of the Spirit. And I want to remind you that the gifts of the Spirit are for today. The gifts of the Spirit are for you. Every single person in here. The gifts of the Spirit are not just for the fivefold ministry offices. You might see them more frequently through them, maybe, but also maybe not, depending on their giftings. But I'm going to say this. In quantity, we should be seeing more of the gifts of the Spirit from all of you. Pastor Tim is one man. Right? We are many. Imagine if every single one of us were walking in the gifts of the Spirit that God has given us as we should. Imagine the revival that would break out in this city and the changes that we would see in the city because of you guys. Pastor Tim has done so much to equip us and to change us and to counsel us through things, but it's not just so that we can go home and sit in peace and silence and just be like, oh, thank you, Lord. That's good. But then there's something for us to do. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1, it says this, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. I would not have you ignorant. That means that he wants you to know something about the gifts of the Spirit. How many here want to know something about the gifts of the Spirit today? All right, praise the Lord, you're in the right place because I'm going to teach you. Praise the Lord. So it goes on down here. I'm going to skip one part of it, but if you go to verse 4, it says this, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God who works all in all. Notice that, all in all. Not just for the ministers, not just for the super anointed, not just for the seasoned in the faith, the elders in the faith, but all in all. And now go on to this next part in verse 7. I love this verse. It really helped me. And it says this in verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit, everyone say manifestation. Manifestation. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal, or to profit everyone. Two things that I want to focus on in verse 7 here is the manifestation of the Spirit. Now, maybe you've thought, because, you know, for one reason or another, that every person gets a spiritual gift. They have to discover that one or two or three spiritual gifts, and then they walk out those spiritual gifts that God has given them. Maybe that's what you've thought. And in a sense, that's true. You may have certain spiritual gifts that you are used in more frequently, but I'm here to tell you, it's not just that you get certain spiritual gifts and then that's it, you can't ever access any others. Nor is it this, that you get a spiritual gift and you just get to flip a switch and decide when to turn it on and off, right? We don't get to choose and decide when we use a gift and when we don't use a gift, right? Because then what that would truly do is that would make us God. We could choose, I'm gonna heal this person, but I'm not gonna heal that person. Not that God's doing that, not that God's choosing, but we could literally step into that place if that was the case and be like, okay, I'm gonna give a prophecy here, but I'm not gonna give a prophecy there. I'm gonna keep them in the dark. Like, do you understand what I'm saying? No. It says this, that the gifts of the Spirit are given at, given as the Spirit wills. Actually, I think, did I skip that part? Where was that? Oh, there it is. In verse 11, go ahead and skip down to verse 11, because that's where I meant to get to about the manifestation, bringing those together. But all these gifts work in that one self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he wills. The gifts are given as the Spirit wills, or you could say the manifestation of the Spirit is given as the Spirit wills. So now, key in on that word manifestation. What that means is that it's something that happens in a moment of time. Okay? When we are moving and flowing in the gifts of the Spirit, it's not up to us, right? We stir up the gifts of the Spirit by walking in love towards other people, by seeing people through the eyes of Jesus, right? But it's the manifestation that's given to us in that moment of time because we did something with our hands, with our feet, with our mouth, and now it allows God to work and manifest himself through us. You see, like I said, it's not turning it on and off. It's being a vessel that can be used by God. Do you want to be a vessel that can be used by God?
Yes.
Look at people with the eyes of Jesus and God will use you. Okay, that's what it says. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. So it's a manifestation in a moment of time. You might not know when that manifestation is going to come, but if you are willing to go to people and to witness to them, to minister to them, to lay hands on them, to pray for them, the gifts of the Spirit will work through you. That's how it works. That's how it operates. Not just because you decided to say, okay, I'm going to use a gift of the Spirit now, praise the Lord. No, it's oftentimes you won't even feel anything. There won't be some bubbling up and some anointing on the inside of you. And then you're going to lay hands and you're going to know for sure that something's going to happen. Listen, when that experience happened in the cabin at camp, when I laid hands on those young men of God and the power of God came upon them and changed them, I felt nothing. I didn't feel anything. I didn't have some stirring. I didn't have like, you know, sometimes you'll hear like a minister say like the anointing of God is on me. I can feel it. Or they'll say like I can just feel the power come out of my hands or like, you know, anything like that. Or like his presence. Like it wasn't like that. I didn't feel anything. I was just a vessel. Reverend Jason from the Fredo New Church said, I just believe you got to go lay hands on all those guys. So by faith, I just did it. I just went and I just started praying for them because is it ever wrong to pray for somebody? No, it's not ever wrong. As long as they're willing to be prayed for, pray for them. But because I went and I prayed for them and laid my hands upon them, God was able to use gifts of the Spirit through me. And not only that, but then these young men, they went and they laid hands upon each other and gifts of the Spirit were working through them too. Just because they all of a sudden saw each other with different eyes, with fresh eyes. It's like the veil was lifted and they could see people with love and with the eyes of Jesus. And they were literally prophesying over each other. They were laying hands on each other. They were praying deliverance over one another. Simply because they would go and they had compassion on somebody. If you have compassion for people, God will use you and you will see the gifts of the Spirit working through your life. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. That's what I want for every single person. I don't just want you to have stuff. Stuff is great. I've got some stuff. I've got a great house, wonderful, healthy family, live in a great neighborhood. Awesome. Great. Wonderful. I can't take any of that to heaven. None of that stuff is going to impress somebody in order that they would come to salvation. No, they need to see somebody who is going to come to them and love them and deliver them from all of their distresses and diseases. Praise the Lord. Just the same way that you were made different by the salvation of Jesus Christ, you should have that same desire to go and make other people different through the salvation of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And it says this, it's given to every man to profit withal. That means it's not just given to profit you, but it's given to profit everyone else around you. And I love this because what's sandwiched right between chapter 12, and actually, why don't we go to chapter 14 and we'll go back to the middle. So now we'll go on to the gift of tongues, chapter 14. Okay? Because this is what I'm doing. I am stirring here today. A desire for spiritual gifts. I want to see God use every single person in this room in a great and mighty way. It might not be every day. It might not be all the time. You might witness to 10 people and never see, specifically an open miracle happen. But listen, maybe on that 11th, 12th, 13th time, you might see something. Maybe you'll have a word of prophecy somebody. Maybe you'll have a word of encouragement. Maybe you will be able to minister to them and deliver them, set them free from some sort of bondage, pray for them and see them healed. But you see, if you're never going to these people, it's never going to happen. God uses us. We are the body of Christ, which is actually in verse 12, it talks about that. We're the hands and feet of Jesus. He needs us to go out and reach out our hands to heal so that people can be saved, delivered, and set free. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 1. Follow after. Come on. Let's try that again. Wait a minute. Are we in? Oh, because we're in the King James Version, the Old English. Well, okay. Pretend that word says love, okay? Follow after. Follow after love and desire spiritual gifts, but this, rather that you may prophesy. For he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. That's awesome. Praise the Lord for tongues. I am so thankful that God has given us this great and wonderful gift. In fact, it was the gift of tongues that was poured out on the day of Pentecost that sparked this great revival in the city. Right? And in fact, it was the gift of tongues that was poured out at 12 o'clock at night at the cabin at Mission Meadows that sparked that great revival amongst the young men of God there. Amen. Gift of tongues is a great thing. I'm not downing it at all, but it needs to be in balance. Okay? It says this, for no man understands him, howbeit in the spirit he speaks mysteries. But he that prophesies speaks unto men. Edification, exhortation, and comfort. He that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself, but he that prophesies edifies the church. I wish that you all would speak with tongues, but rather that you would prophesy. For greater is he that prophesies than he that speaks with tongues, except he interprets his tongues, that the church may receive edifying. Did you guys realize that? The gift of prophecy is greater than the gift of tongues. But just as much that as Paul is desiring for the church to speak in tongues so that they can speak forth the mysteries of God in their prayer closet and even amongst the church when it's interpreted, even more so, he desires that every single member of the body of Christ prophesies. You're like, oh, prophecy, that's scary. That involves my mind a little bit, right? Because tongues is easy. You can kind of sometimes shift your mind into neutral and pray in tongues, right? Which is good because we need to learn how to quiet our minds. We need to learn how to tune into the Spirit of God and what he's saying. But prophecy, sometimes that might be a little scary. Sometimes that's like, oh, I'm really going to speak something to somebody that just comes to my spirit. I'm here to tell you, if you are in tongues, praying in the Spirit of God in your prayer closet, you're probably already being used in the gift of prophecy and you might not even know it. But that gift of prophecy isn't only supposed to stay with me, myself, and I for my future, for my stuff, for my family, for my kids. It's supposed to come out and be used for the edification of others. Edification, exhortation, and comfort. You see, the explosion power that the gifts of the Spirit were given in Acts chapter 2 started because Jesus said this. He says, the power of the Holy Spirit will be poured out and you will be witnesses to me into Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. The gift of the Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues is just the opening door to the power of the Spirit to reach other people. It wasn't meant for you just to only go back to your prayer closet and have great fellowship with your Heavenly Father. That's good. I do that. And I hope that you do that. But it shouldn't stay there. If it's staying in your prayer closet, and I'm not saying tongues specifically, because we shouldn't just go up to somebody and just say Shema Lahala Hallelujah, right? Like that's also out of order. But we should be charging ourselves up with the Spirit of God in order to go out and minister to other people. You guys remember some of those blowout, you know, Holy Ghost services that we've had? People, you know, hands laid on them, people jumping, dancing, shouting, you know, all those things. You remember some of those services like that, right? Those services are meant to empower you to go out and witness to other people. And so many times I think, just not from anyone's fault, just the day and the age that we live in, right? Everything is about us. Everything's about our comfort. Everything that we see on TV, on social media, it's all about self-help. It's all about how we can improve our lives, how we can get more money. Like, I'm not just talking about the church. It's all around us in the culture, so it's inevitable. When we experience these things and we feel better, we forget to also look outward to what Jesus wants us to do. Praise the Lord. For greater is he that prophesies than he that speaks with tongues, except that he interprets that the church may receive edifying. You see, because tongues interpreted becomes prophecy. You always have to keep that in balance. You always have to keep that in line, that prophecy is the greater gift because it edifies others. That's the purpose. Again, even if we go I'm going to skip down to verse 12. It says this, even so ye forasmuch, wow, what a jumble of words there. It's so hard. Even so ye forasmuch as ye, it's a lot of words, I'm sorry. That just caught me off guard. To be honest, I don't typically read from the King James. Usually I'm a new King James person, so it's a little challenge for me, but it's okay. Even as you are zealous for spiritual gifts, seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church. You're zealous for tongues, you're zealous for spiritual gifts, but you need to use it to edify the church. You need to use it to edify other people. That's how we keep these things in order. And see, that's why I'm saying that gifts of the Spirit work by love. Again, not just how we treat other people. It's not that the gifts of the Spirit are going to work just because we are a good moral person with great integrity and we treat other people kindly, but because we actually go and do something for somebody. That's how the gifts of the Spirit work and operate. Praise the Lord. And so it says this again, he reiterates, wherefore, let him that speaks in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. I'm going to encourage you this too, even in your own prayer time, pray that you would interpret your tongues. Because yes, it is self-edifying, but if you interpret your tongues, you'll get understanding that maybe is for somebody else that you can help them with. And then secondly, when you are praying in tongues, make sure that it's still not just about the plans, purposes, and pursuits that God has for your life personally, but also the plans, purposes, and pursuits that God has for other people's lives. There's a great testimony that I heard. I remember reading it in a book somewhere years ago, but of somebody that was waking up in the middle of the night and they just had this urge and this desire to just pray in the Spirit, right? So they just did. They started praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in the Spirit, and they kept a prayer journal so they knew what time, they knew the length of the time of prayer, you know, and that's good. But it was months later, you know, so they prayed and prayed and prayed until the burden lifted. You know, that's what happens sometimes when you really have that unction to pray in the Spirit, like the leading to pray. So you pray it out until that unction lifts, right? And so they did this, and then it was months later, there was a missionary that came to their church, right? And this missionary was telling this testimony of how they were on their deathbed. I believe they had tuberculosis, and they were on their deathbed about to die. They were about to take their last breath. And they talked about how, you know, just through the night, they were just in agony, groaning and crying, and you know, because they knew that they were going to die. And then just all of a sudden, just something lifted, and they were just completely made healthy, whole, and strong again, and just raised up off that deathbed. And they gave this testimony. And this person comes up to the missionary after, because the missionary said about the range of time that it had happened and stuff like that. And she goes, what specific time was that this happened? And like, what date? And they're like, yeah, it was about, you know, this day, about this time that it happened. And then the person was thinking back in their mind, like, okay, so like if I do the time zones and all that. And they're like, at the very same time that you were facing that test and trial, I was wakened in the night by the Spirit of God. And I prayed in the Spirit. And he said, I felt that lift. And he said, I believe that was me praying for you in the Spirit. You see, the gifts of the Spirit aren't just for us, but they are for others. They're given to us for the purpose of others. The edifying nature of the Spirit of God isn't just that we can feel better, but so that we can make other people feel better, right? So now if we go back into 1 Corinthians 13, I don't want your tongues to be useless. And there is a fear that your tongues could turn out to be useless. And maybe you're here today and you're like, I don't know about this tongues business. I don't, it's kind of weird, ooky, spooky. I've never done it. You know, I'm here to tell you it is biblical. It is laid out in Scripture. Paul says that it is for us. It is for the church. And even this, the Bible says that the gifts of the Spirit will not pass away until that which is perfect is come. And the perfect one spoken of in Hebrews chapter 6 is Jesus Christ, the righteous. When Jesus Christ returns, then we don't have a need for gifts anymore, right? That's what that which is perfect comes. The gifts of the Spirit are for today. All of them, yes, including tongues. And it is a great way to edify yourself and charge yourself up in order to go out and reach other people. Remember, Jesus Christ even told his own apostles not to go out and witness until the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon you to be witnesses. They had to wait for the gift and the infilling of the Holy Spirit, and they spoke in other tongues, and that's what empowered them to go out into this world. Use the power of the Holy Spirit in order to reach other people. If you are fearful and afraid to go out and talk to somebody, to reach somebody, to tell them about the hope that you have in Jesus, stir up the gift of God that is in you. And you can do that by praying in the Holy Ghost, but do it with the idea that you're loving other people. Right? So, 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 1. It says this, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I'm become as a sounding brass or a tingling cymbal. Right? It's just all it is, just somebody just smashing on a cymbal. Right? Could you imagine if Aviel just got up there while Reverend Tony's playing the piano and he just started smashing on the cymbal like this? Like, it would be useless. It would ruin the song, right? Thankfully, Aviel is so skilled at the drums, he's not just smashing the cymbal up there, right? Though I have the gift of prophecy, the greater gift, right? Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so this is talking about different gifts of the Spirit here, so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing, right? We need love, not just love and good character, you know, but love for other people, okay? And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits me nothing. Yeah, you could be a good Christian. You could even just be a martyr. But if you've not loved people and brought people into the body of Christ, it counts for nothing. Because it's not just about you. It's not just about you. That's why, I'm not trying to get off onto different religions, but that's why like even some of these other Christian sects where they go off and they go into the mountains and they pray and seek God and they, you know, they take the vows of poverty and all of these things, that profits them nothing. Because you can be off in the mountains seeking after God and then there's a lost and dying world down here heading to hell. Profits you nothing. You need love for one another. and especially love for the lost and dying world out there. Now you see how that comes into balance there. That's why it says, pursue love and then desire spiritual gifts. If your purpose of the gifts, if your purpose of the blessings, if your purpose of anything that God has for you is not love for other people, it's out of order and God cannot and will not use you. And I think that that's what's happened in the church at large a lot, is that people have the wrong idea of the gospel, that the gospel is just there to make themselves feel better instead of going and equipping the saints to go out and reach other people, right? And so that's why we're seeing, it seems, in the church at large, less power, less gifts of the Spirit, less miracles, signs, and wonders in the church, because in a sense, in the church at large, actually Pastor Tim has talked about this previously. He said he went online and listened to some different pastors, not to snoop, but just, he's just curious what people are preaching. And he said it was just all about how people can make themselves feel better, right? How they can get stuff to make their lives more comfortable and more convenient. But what has been our motto at Family Church for probably the past year or two? It's not what we have, but who we have. And who we have is Jesus Christ, the righteous one. But guess what? Not everybody has that. Everybody can have money. Everybody can have, you know, a car, a house, all of these things. But what they really need is Jesus Christ. That's really what people need. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. One of the verses that, I'm not going to have you turn here, but I just wanted to point it out as well, just to give some reinforcement to this. Jude 20. How many people love Jude 20? Build up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Well, if you look to the Greek, it is talking about, yes, you praying in the Holy Ghost. But if you look into the Greek, it says, actually, I'm just going to pull it up on my iPad. If you want to pull it up, if it's easy enough, Jude 1:20. In the original Greek, it actually would read more like this. It would read, but you, dear friends, must build up each other in your most holy faith by praying in the power of the Holy Spirit. Build up each other by praying in the Holy Spirit. Yes, you'll build up your faith, but it's in order that you would build up others, right? That's the purpose of the gifts of the Spirit. Praise the Lord. So, what are we going to do with all this? Actually, yes, go ahead and turn in your Bibles. I actually do have that next in my verse here. Jude chapter 1, and it says this. Sorry, I'll give you guys a minute to get there. Moving too fast here. Praise the Lord. Jude chapter 1. All right, and I'm just going to start right there in, let's see here, in verse 3. I already read verse 20, so we're not going to go back there right now. We're just going to go to verse 3. And it says this, beloved, how many here of you are a beloved? Anyone a beloved of God? Praise the Lord. If you're not a beloved of God, if you don't know God, I'm going to give you an opportunity to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior here this morning. But it says this, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, right? Because that's what Paul is always writing about, is about salvation in Jesus Christ. That has to be first and foremost. It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. Earnestly contend for the faith. And so that's my one and only point that I have here today. I've said a lot of words, but if you take anything out of this, I want you to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered. And so now you're sitting here thinking, okay, so what was the faith that was once delivered? And that is this, it's the gospel. If you truly believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, again, God created us to be with him. Our sins separate us from God. Sins cannot be removed by good deeds. Paying the price for sin, Jesus died and rose again. Everyone who trusts in him alone has eternal life. And life with Jesus starts now and lasts forever. If that is your goal, if that is your focus in this life, then you are earnestly contending for the faith that was once delivered. You see, the message of Jesus Christ when he was here walking this earth is the same message that we have today. Jesus didn't just only go and heal the sick and cast out demons, but he also preached the gospel. And he said this. He said, when you lay hands on somebody and somebody is healed, he says, tell them that the kingdom of heaven has come near to them. You see, we need to go to people, and yes, we need to preach the gospel to them first and foremost. That's what we should be contending for, but it's for the purpose that the kingdom of God is being established on this earth. Everyone in this world needs the kingdom of God in this life. And isn't that what the Bible says? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. That's Matthew 6:33. And that's the whole purpose of the gospel, is that we seek him. As we seek him, he will supply our needs. He will give us the things that we need. He will supply for us. He will heal our bodies. He will deliver us. He will set us free. All of the promises of God are yes and amen in Jesus Christ. Not just because you say in Jesus' name, but it's in Jesus Christ. And the Bible says this, that abide in me, talking about Jesus, and I in you, for apart from me, you can do nothing. You see, if we are abiding in Christ, if we're abiding in the gospel of Jesus Christ, that's when we're going to have our needs met. If we are going out and we are actually reaching out our hands to heal people and to pray for people and to encourage people and prophesy, giving words of wisdom, word of knowledge, if we're discerning spirits, if we're, you know, all of these things, working of miracles, gifts of faith, all of these things can happen through your hands in this room. I'm going to say it. These gifts of the Spirit can happen through your hands in this room. It's not just for the fivefold ministry office. Again, the fivefold ministry office might see it more frequently, but they are for you as well. Okay? And the thing is, if we are actually going and contending for the faith once delivered, fighting and warring after seeing the kingdom of God be established on this earth, that's when the gifts of the Spirit are going to be poured out in full manifestation of power, is through the body of Christ. Not just the man behind the pulpit, not just me, not just Pastor Tim or Pastor Brad or any other minister, but through the church. It's the equipping of the saints, not the equipping of the fivefold ministry offices, right? We are the saints. We are the body of Christ. So don't sit back and contend and fight in war for your healing, deliverance, freedom, money, peace. Don't even pursue gifts in tongues. But our goal in this life is to pursue love. The gospel is about others, right? Jesus came for the whole world, not just for you, okay? Desire God's promises, stand firm and stand fast in them, but seek him and know him so that you are able to confidently go to other people and let them know who Jesus Christ is. Our Bible reading time should not just be reiterating and remembering all the promises of God, okay? It should also be actually understanding the things that Jesus did, how he acted, how he reacted, how he interacted with other people. It should be understanding the entire context of a book so that you can understand the reason why Paul was teaching the things that are contained like in the book of Jude, right? Or in the book of Timothy, so that we can get a full understanding of how we're to apply that to our lives. Not just looking to the book of Jude and the book of 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, all the books of the Bible just for the promises, but looking for what we're supposed to do for others. Because all the books of the Bible were written about how we can interact and impact other people. The special thing about the early church in the book of Acts, if you go back and read that, and I encourage you, go back to the book of Acts and read through the book of Acts at some time. Maybe not all in one sitting, but read it and think about how they were acting towards one another and the things that they were doing. They were in one accord all the time. It says that they were in one accord. They were praying together. They were seeking God together. It says that they were surrounding themselves with the apostles' doctrine. That means that they were talking constantly about the things of the word and the things of the spirit and what God was doing. It wasn't just about their stuff. In fact, it says that they sold all of their stuff and gave money to the church in order that everybody's needs would be supplied. Right? That is the point of the gospel. Not that I'm saying everybody here, sell all your houses, sell all your lands, and bring the money to the church. That's not what I'm saying. But our heart's desire should be for other people. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Man, and you know what? This is a big reason why so many times our prayers go unanswered too, is because it's all about us. I will even say this. Maybe this is controversial, but I would even bargain to say that there's some people, please do not take this and say that I'm saying all people, But there are some promises that God has for people that are not being given to them because they're asking with the wrong heart desire. It is a true promise in the Word. They're asking in the name of Jesus. Maybe they've even forgiven other people, right? Because that's part of love, is forgiving one another so that our prayers can be answered. But they're doing it for their own convenience and benefit and satisfaction. To consume it upon their own lust is what James chapter 4 says. And so they do not get even the promises of God, because they're not actually seeking after the benefit of others with whatever it is they're seeking for. And I'll even say this, that could potentially even go for healing. Again, if you're hearing this and you are in need of healing, I'm not saying this is the reason why you're not getting healed. Please understand that. Because there are a myriad of reasons why it could be. But that could be a reason why somebody doesn't get their healing is because it's just about their own comfort, their own conveniences, and they're not actually sold out for Jesus, looking to reach other people and impact people's lives around them. That's the purpose of the gospel, is for other people. Praise the Lord. So, what do we do? The word of God has been preached here today. The powerful word of God is spoken. In fact, I have a group chat with some of the guys in the youth group, and actually that was the verse I sent to them in Hebrews chapter 4. It says, the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, and it cuts to the dividing line of soul and spirit. So I hope you've been cut to the heart this morning. And so maybe you're sitting here thinking, just like in Acts chapter 2, when Peter preached the gospel message and they were cut to the heart, and they're like, what should we do? What I'm here to tell you that you need to do, start with this: pray for one another. Pray for the people in these seats. Pray for the people at your workplaces if they need it. Pray for people in your family. Pray for people in the streets. Pray for people at the store. I've prayed for people at the store. I've prayed for people at the streets. Like, listen, it's and that is the simplest thing that you can do. Just ask, you know, if you see somebody going through something, can I pray for you? And I'm here to tell you, if you reach out your hand to pray for somebody, God will use you. God will use you. That's what we're to do. Reaching out our hands to heal, to set free, to deliver, to lift people up out of their burdens, out of their tests and trials. And when you do that, that's when God is going to come in and he'll start working on your life, because you are being the hands and feet of God to work on the lives of other people. Praise the Lord. Isn't that what Job did? Job prayed for his friends, even through all the test and trial and calamity that he was going through. His friends that were blaming him for his problems, blaming him for his test and trial, saying that you've sinned, you've done this wrong, you must have done that wrong, God is mad at you. And none of that was true. I mean, yes, he was a sinner, he wasn't perfect, and he had to get that right. But it wasn't because of some great and grand sin that he had that this calamity came upon him, right? It was just a test and a trial of the enemy. But God didn't deliver him until he prayed for those friends so that they could also receive repentance and be saved. That's when God delivered him. And that should be our heart's desire, that even in the depths of hell that we're going through, we would get up off of our feet, or get up on our feet, we would go out of our house, and we would go and pray for somebody. Or maybe if that's not you, you know what? You can even have a ministry where you do disciple people with your cell phone. You can do it, right? Keep in contact with somebody, help them, minister to them, send them a text message, send them a Bible verse. Maybe you find a good encouraging YouTube short or a YouTube video with preaching or something. Send that to them, and that's a way that you can be reaching out to somebody else. Have a prayer project. Have somebody that you have in your heart that you want to witness to. When you're out in the stores, this is a scary one for a lot of people, have your head on a swivel, looking around for lost people that need to know Jesus Christ. Man, I'm going too long here. I need to end. But I'm just excited about all that God is doing, all that God is going to do. And I'm here to tell you, get involved in things where that you can go out and impact other people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel is the cure. The gospel is the answer to all of life's problems. That's what we need to go and give to other people, is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Were you helped this morning? Praise the Lord. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your grace and your love. And most of all, I thank you that you gave Jesus Christ to die on the cross for our sins so that we could be saved. Lord, I thank you that we have the power of the Holy Spirit within us, working through us. And Lord, I pray that people have been stirred up today and that they will go home and stir themselves up with love in order to see the gifts of the Spirit working through them for the benefit of other people. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you've given us these words today. I thank you that we will store them up in our heart, treasure them forever, not forgetting them. And we will run the race of faith that is set before us so we can receive the mark of the high prize in the calling of Christ Jesus. Now, before we close here today, I want to make sure that everyone here knows Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Because I don't know everybody here. I don't know everyone's relationship with God. I don't know where everyone comes from. I don't know what you've been through. And any time that I witness or preach the gospel, preach the word of God, I want to make sure that everyone has that decision point, because it's heaven or hell. When God spoke to Israel, he said, "Choose this day whom you will serve." He says, "But I set before you death and life, blessing and cursing." And he said this, "Choose life that you would live." And that's the same cry today. Jesus Christ came to die on the cross for your sins, for your failures, for your mistakes. He took your sins on his own body on the tree, that you being dead to sins would be alive under righteousness. And it happens by placing faith in Jesus Christ, the righteous God. So maybe you're sitting here today and you say, "Yeah, I don't know if I'm saved. If I were to die today, I don't know if I'd go to heaven or I'd go to hell." And you want to be sure of your eternal destiny. All I'm gonna ask you to do here today is just lift up your hand boldly. And that's just your heart's cry. I see that hand. You can put it down. Praise the Lord. Just boldly declare that you want to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You want to place your faith in him so that you can be sure of your salvation and that you can enter into relationship with Jesus Christ. We had a hand. Is there anyone else here that wants to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? You've never prayed the prayer of salvation. Praise the Lord. I don't see any hands here. We did have one hand. The Bible says that heaven rejoices at even one sinner who repents and comes to faith in Jesus Christ. So that person that raised their hand here today and everyone else here today, I want you, I'm gonna pray a prayer and I want you to repeat the prayer after me. It's not the prayer that saves you. It's that posture of faith in your heart saying that Jesus, I give you my life, it's yours. That's how you can know that you are saved, is by giving your life to Jesus, knowing that he saved you from your sins. You raised your hand. I want you to repeat this prayer after me, and everyone else repeat it as well. Say, "Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you that Jesus is Lord of my life. I believe in my heart he died on the cross and rose again so that I could be saved. I repent of my sins. I give my life to you. I will live for you. I will serve you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen." Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Will you guys help this morning? Yeah. Praise the Lord. You know, like I said, it's just been something that's been stirring in my heart that I want you guys to be confident and bold to go out and preach the gospel and to see God use you in things of the Spirit, in gifts of the Spirit, in manifestations of the Spirit. And listen to this. If you are not bold right now, what I want you to do is I want you to go home. I want you to open your Bible to Acts chapter 4. And towards the end of Acts chapter 4, I believe it starts right around verse 20. It's after the disciples had been persecuted and they'd been threatened by the rulers and the magistrates of the city. And it says that they went back to their own company and they all prayed together. And it says this, that they were filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke the word of God with boldness. You see, there's many fillings of the Spirit that are spoken of in the Bible. Yes, one of those is being filled with the Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, which if you've never done that and you want to be filled with the Spirit, come see me and I would love to pray with you, even after service here, and I would love to pray with you that you'd be filled with the Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. But there's other experiences for those that have been filled with the Spirit, and there's times where you can pray for boldness, for joy, for peace, for strength, for wisdom and guidance. Those are also other fillings of the Spirit that God will give you to help you in this ministry that he's called you to. Every single one of you has a ministry. Now I want you to go and fulfill it. Oh, you guys stand with me as we go ahead and close here this morning. Thank you all so much. Again, if you are here for the first time visiting, I would love for you to come back so you can meet Pastor Tim and hear the man of God appointed to pastor and shepherd this church and this congregation. But thank you all. You guys were so great today. I appreciate you guys being so attentive and responsive. I hope that you were helped today. Let's go ahead and give God all the praise, honor, and glory. We worship you, Father God. We praise you for your greatness. We praise you for your love. Father God, we thank you for the Spirit of God that is in us, that helps us, strengthens us, and guides us through everything in life. Lord, we thank you for everything said and everything done. I pronounce a special blessing upon every hearer here today. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. You are dismissed.